You see, we can't even turn around. Repentance simply means that we understood and admit that we are going in the wrong direction, and we cry to the Father for help. And it was the Holy Spirit that was drawing you. It's the Holy Spirit that was tugging at the door of your heart. And maybe he is right now tugging at the door of your heart. But the question is, as we read the scripture, Jesus said, I must go to my Father. And if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. You see, Jesus confined himself to a physical body. He limited himself so that we could truly understand what the truth was. But now the Holy Spirit is not confined to a physical body. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. And I would like for us just to take a look at how the Holy Spirit ministers to us today. First of all, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit was deeply involved in creation. In Genesis 1:2, it says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God, whenever you see in the scripture, the Spirit capitalized with it in capital S, you know it's referring to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. So all three members of the Godhead were involved in the creating of the world. Also, the Holy Spirit, when he came, convicts people of sin. He is the one that is drawing you. He's the one that's tugging at the door of your heart. John 16:8, as we read, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of coming judgment. Of sin, which is the fundamental rejection of Jesus' message and his mission. Of righteousness, because the absolute standard of God's holy character, it stands in contrast to our human depravity. And of judgment, because the verdict is in, and we are all guilty of sin. But the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us there. As he was drawing us and tugging at the door of our heart, because God is pursuing us. We didn't pursue God. God is pursuing us. And as we finally realize that this is what the truth is, then he does the transforming. In Romans 8:9-16, listen to God's word. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you, even so, even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to our mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Listen to that carefully. John 3:5. I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and Spirit. Humans can reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Apostle Paul said, he hath made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. And this goes all the way back to the beginning when God said to Adam in the garden, if you eat of this tree, you are forsaking me and you will surely die. Now, he didn't die physically. He died spiritually. That's why Apostle Paul said, you, or why Jesus said, you must be born again. And Apostle Paul said, you have made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. So it's the Holy Spirit that does the transforming. In Titus 3:5, he says, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. So it was the Holy Spirit that transformed our lives in Jesus Christ. Not only that, that we have been transformed by the Holy Spirit, but we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. In Matthew 3:11, it says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Baptism is important to understand. Yes, I know. When a person comes to Christ, we need to have that outward testimony of what Christ did in us, that we understand that before we came to Christ, that we lived for self and we died. You died to self. And when you are lowered under the water, that your sins have been washed away. And when you come up out of the water, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we have been regenerated, a new birth. We've been given life, and now we have meaning and purpose in life because we understand what life is about, and that is our relationship with God. Think of it. 80 or so years that you and I live on the face of this earth is only preparation for eternity that has no end. This is preparation for eternity. Romans 6:8. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we now will also live with him. Galatians 4:6 says, because we are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call Abba, Father. You know what that means? Intimate, Daddy. It's still hard for me to call Father Daddy because he is so awesome. But what Paul is saying here is that we have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now we are no longer a slave, but God's own child. We are not only baptized in the Spirit, we are sealed in the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. excuse me. There's something wrong and done deep inside there. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Guaranteeing our inheritance. We are sealed with him. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is one of the most powerful things that you and I could ever experience in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:5, he says, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this as a guarantee that he has given us his Holy Spirit. Beautiful, powerful. Not only has he given us his Spirit, but he dwells within us. Romans 8:9 says, but you were not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of the living God in you. In Romans 6:12 and 13, it says, Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve it. Instead, give your lives completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Wow. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is what we have in our hearts with Jesus Christ. We are not only he indwells us, but he is we are identified with Christ. In Romans 8:5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit about things that please the Spirit of God. So, who's in control of your life? We're not only identified with Christ, but he assures us in 1 John 3:24, those who obey God's commandments remain in the fellowship with him and he with them. And we know that he lives in us, that the Spirit of God that we have, he lives in us. He assures us. Not only does he assure us, but he teaches us. In 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 12, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except the person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. But listen to this. But we have received God's Spirit so we can know the wonderful things that he has freely given to us. Freely given to us. We can understand God, yet there are so many things we don't understand because our minds are finite. Yet we know the basic truths and the joy and the experience that we have in following our Lord Jesus Christ. So he teaches us. Not only does he teach us, but he strengthens us. In Ephesians 3:16, I pray from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower the inner strength through you, empower you with his inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. I want you to see all the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He strengthens us out of his inner, he gives us that inner strength and that inner power. Now, God never promised he would give us an easy road. So many Christians think that when I come to Jesus, everything will turn out fine. Boy, I haven't found that out, have you? No way. But there is an inner power and an inner strength. I've lost all but one member of our family. That's the one problem of being the youngest of nine kids. I have to say goodbye to all of my mom and dad and to all my brothers and sisters. And there's only two of us left. And we went through the pain because we were a very close-knit family. We went through the pain. I remember when one of my brothers died, one of my brothers said to me, this is what we get for being a close family. And I said, I'm willing to pay that price. Yes, we went through grief. But there was an inner power and an inner strength. And Jesus said during those times, yes, you're going to sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned into joy because of what I have done for you. I have overcome the world. He not only strengthens us, but here is where it now becomes important to us. He conforms us to Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. It is so sad. Let me use this illustration. We have a friend in California. They had a boy. His mental capacity, he is now more than 40 years old. His mental capacity is 1 year of age. He's in diapers. They have to feed him. And all he loves to do is to tear up magazines and sit on the floor. How sad. But they are so faithful to you. But how many Christians who have come to Christ are in the same situation? Yes, yes, you have given your faith to Christ, but you haven't grown. See, when a person comes, it's a natural part of growth that we become adults. And maturity is when one receives all the time to one who gives all the time. You see, the enemy has given us a lie. The evangelical church has been given a lie. That all of this salvation is just for you and me. And it's not. It's for the glory of God. He reached down in his love, and he's the one that changed us to bring himself glory. And comes a time when the Lord says, I've walked with you long enough. Now it's time for you to start walking with me. And that's where most Christians stop in their growth. Really, they want salvation, but they're still self-centered, just like a child. But you see, the Holy Spirit says he conforms us to the image of Christ so that there's growth in our lives as we daily depend on him and read his word, which is the truth and the food of the gospel. And the Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It simply needs to be controlled by the Spirit. I remember many years ago, Dr. Bill Bright, who the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, came to a life institute with a number of churches in our area. And I remember him saying at the close of that, because many, even pastors, needed counseling from Dr. Bright. And he said, I phone to ask one question. Who's in control of your life? You see, when we come to Christ, that relationship is set. But we can fall out of fellowship with Christ. Our relationship with Christ is set, but our fellowship is what we're talking about. Who's in control of your life, you or Christ? Yes, you're a believer. Just like you were born into your family. Nobody can change that. Nobody can change the fact that I'm a Thompson. I was born into that family. But I can fall out of fellowship. In fact, I did one time when I was 6 years of age. I remember the first spanking. The last spanking I got was from my mother, because I asked my grandmother, and she turned me over. She gives me normally 3 warnings, but boys are a little hard, to get it. And she turned me over her knee and gave me a good spanking. I ran out into the farther corner of the barn. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I just go eat worms. But it was quite a while. Then the truth began to set in. So I went back. It was a hot day. I can still remember it very clearly. And the main door was closed, but the screen door the door was open. The screen door was closed. So, and it squeaked so bad when every time I opened it, so I pulled it just so gently so she didn't know I was coming in. And I saw her in the living room, and she was sitting in a chair mending clothes. So I went up behind her and I said, "I'm sorry." I'll never forget what she did. Those clothes went flying on the floor. She turned around in the chair. She pulled me up into her arms. And she said, "Son, I forgive you. Never do this again." Now, did I ever cease to be her son? No. I was out of fellowship with her, but I was not out of relationship with her. How about you? How is your relationship with God? Are you walking with Him? Who's in the driver's seat? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or are you in the driver's seat and He's the passenger? That is exactly what Paul is saying, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Just to be controlled by it also means it be controlled. It's not an exotic experience. It's just that you have surrendered all to Christ, because you know what he says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You do not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God. You are not your own. You are bought with a high price. Therefore, honor Christ in your body. Wow. You know, if there's any other way that God could have reconciled us to Him, don't you think he would have taken it? But he had to pay the ultimate price. You see, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Jesus. He paid the price. He changed you. He forgave you. The Holy Spirit has done all of this just so that we can be drawn back to God. And then the Bible also says in Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." So we are talking about our walk with God. Are you like that 40-year-old boy that's still in diapers? Or are you growing in Christ? Because you see, there is where you find the joy of walking with God. There is where the Spirit fills to overflowing. As a senior pastor, I had the responsibility of adding to staff. And there's one thing that I quickly found. If they were in the ministry to meet their need, I knew I had to reject it. But if they, in their private walk with Christ, were filled to overflowing, and they ministered to people out of the overflow of their life, what a difference! Because this is what God wants us to do. And now we will find the beautiful fruit that God is asking us to bear. And He produces fruit. Galatians 5:16, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. But the Holy Spirit also then produces this kind of fruit," in Galatians 5:16, "love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now, if the Holy Spirit is in charge of our lives, If he's in control of our lives, we will be starting to produce that kind of fruit. Haven't you run across Christians who just radiate Christ? They don't have to shout it from the mountaintop. They just, you know, my mother used to say, still water flows deep. And so you maybe not find it at the beginning, but you start talking to them, and you begin to see that there is a power within, a joy within, a peace within, a wonderful, wonderful time in our relationship with Christ. That's what it's all about. And he will start to produce that fruit. And he'll do it all. All of these qualities of the Holy Spirit are talking about: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is not one at a time. It's all of them together as we walk with Christ. But we have to be in tune. In fact, we need to say with that Old Testament David, Lord, put me on trial. See if there's any wicked way in me.